I'm Derek Russell.
And I'm Brad Locke, and this is The Memo,
a gathering of all things Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by The Daily Journal and DJournal.com.
Okay, welcome in everybody to the memo. I keep trying to get Derek to do the intro and he refuses.
Well, I think people have grown accustomed to you bringing us in.
Well, sure,
we'll go. Yeah, they're going to hear Brad Locke. It's like the one morning the rooster doesn't crow.
I'm not listening to this podcast.
Because the coyote killed it or something.
You're saying you're the coyote?
I'm saying life is the coyote, Brad.
Life is the coyote. No, actually, I feel like I'm the coyote and life is the road.
What?
Beneath the cliff.
Oh, like Wile E. Coyote?
Yeah. Thought that's what we were talking about.
No.
I just popped into my head Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner when you mentioned that.
Okay, well, we can go there with the analogy if you'd like to. Was he trying to eat her or what?
Who?
The Roadrunner and Coyote.
I don't know. I'm lost now.
Okay. I'm Derek.
That's Derek Fancy Pants.
He's lost. Russell. I'm Derek.
Fancy Pants. He's got that fancy trackpad over there. And apparently he's got Siri on his laptop. I didn't know you could do that. I need to upgrade.
All you have to do is update and you can have it too, Brad. It's not an elitist thing.
I think it is.
No? You just updated the latest software. Mine did it overnight by itself.
Well, mine doesn't do that. Maybe you
probably
got a newer computer.
Turned it off.
Probably. Well, you got one of them.
Turn it on.
You got a Mac Air?
I do have a Mac
Air. See, I just got a MacBook Pro, so maybe I don't have that capability.
That's works, isn't it?
What?
Like, didn't work give you that?
True.
Okay, I wouldn't complain too much if I were you. Work didn't give me one.
That's a fair point.
I don't have anything nice. Chris has got a MacBook Pro over there, too. I see how it is, speaking of elitism.
This is bigger, too.
Oh,
okay. He's a producer.
Oh, I see how it is.
Do all
fine.
This,
that's fine.
All this complex, fancy
I have an Apple
stuff.
II at my desk. On good days, I can print dot matrix.
1986.
Yeah. I can do a happy birthday banner.
They finally replaced the TRS.
And,
replaced the TRS-80 for you.
Yes, they did. It was good of them. I hear if I'm really good this year, I get a Commodore 64.
Boy.
Yeah.
I remember when I was in college, I had a laptop, but it was this big, thick Toshiba something or other. I mean, it was like 2 inches thick at least. And it was pretty much good for just
murdering people,
typing up documents and printing them out.
Yeah.
I didn't have internet
back
then.
Well, that's about all that they were built for at the time.
True.
I mean, you might could play solitaire.
Yeah, I think I could play solitaire on
Wheel of Fortune or something.
Not much beyond that.
You know, at one time in this very building, they had Commodore 64s.
I don't doubt that.
They did. I believe after they got rid of them, Marty Russell got a couple of them. And I would play...
it's your uncle, for people who don't know.
I played Wheel of Fortune or Jeopardy on a big, floppy, hard disk.
I remember my...
You have to turn it in and crank the key and...
Yeah, I remember my dad's computer at when he was a preacher in Louisiana back in the 90s. He had a computer we play Hangman on all the time.
Yeah.
That's all you could play.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun, though. So...
Ancient history. Speaking of ancient history, I was writing my column this morning.
Oh, yeah?
Did we talk on air yesterday about Amelia Earhart? I know we talked about it.
No.
Fair. But we talked about it.
I wasn't there for that.
You and I were talking about it then.
Were we?
But I
about
saw the picture.
The picture that they have newly discovered that they believe proves that she survived.
No.
Well, that has happened. But there was also, in New York yesterday, crews, I was writing my column on this morning, crews have recovered a bomb in the street, a World War II era missile.
Where is this?
And on 21st Street in New York.
Good grief.
And turned out to be a time capsule. Somebody had gone to an army surplus back in the 80s and bought a dud and turned it into a time capsule. It wasn't supposed to be open for 10,000 years.
So 10,000 years.
They kind of...
I don't think anybody would have found it by that
point. They went a little early on that one.
I mean, it seems like you should leave better instructions with your time capsule.
Yeah, I mean,
so.
Put a plate on it, not a bomb, or totally not a bomb.
Don't open until...
Yeah. Open in
11:32.
I mean, they evacuated the entire street. I mean, all the buildings, they sent everybody home. I mean, you know, bomb squad was there, and it's full of papers.
Do not open until 11,085 AD.
Is that what it would be? What would
doing the math. 10,000 years?
I'd be 12,000.
No, I can't do math.
17?
10,000 plus right? 19.
Well, I guess it was from the 1980s.
I don't know.
Good point. Yeah.
I was told there would be no math.
Yeah. Well, there is, apparently. So, but yeah, we just history left and right today. Not to mention Hobby Lobby. Have y'all seen about that this morning?
No.
Yeah, they've got artifacts.
They were smuggling. They were smuggling Iraqi artifacts into the U.S.
Hobby Lobby was?
Hobby Lobby, which is only like the 12th weirdest thing to happen this year. So, you know, that's 2017 is just knocking it out of the park, and it's not even August yet.
So what's the deal with this? I just saw the headlines, but the Amelia Earhart photo.
I've not actually sat and watched the entire video.
I saw a photo of her kind of standing next to a plane, right? Like kind of waving?
No. That's an actual picture of her before the flight.
That's not the one. So what is the photo that came out?
It is this one right here.
Okay.
For the folks in the studio and folks at home, you'll just have to Google yourselves. And they believe through like facial reconstruction and everything, recognition software, that to be her. And it was discovered in the National Archives.
Which picture is not
that? That's it. That's just zoomed in.
You can't see anybody's face.
That's her with her back to us.
How do they know that?
The photo found in a long-forgotten file in the National Archives show a woman who resembles Earhart and a man who appears to be her navigator, Fred Noonan. So over on the far left, you can actually see his face, and they believe that to be Fred.
Kind of, yeah.
Which they assume means that is her sitting there as well.
Okay. Where is it?
In the Marshall Islands, which is... it's just weird because this, you know, she was last heard from July 2nd. So, you know, and then they all of a sudden found this picture. But History Channel's doing this documentary, Amelia Earhart, The Lost Evidence. But they have come up with their own theory as to what happened to her as a result.
Interesting.
Independent analyst told History Channel the photo appears legitimate and undoctored. So,
interesting.
Pretty cool when you think about it.
It is. It's been one of those. That's one of been one of the more intriguing mysteries to me.
We need Robert Stack to update us.
Oh, we sure do. Dig him up.
I'll just put the trench coat on and do it myself. Investigators believe they have found evidence Earhart and Noonan were blown off course but survived the ordeal. The investigative team behind the history special believes the photo may have been taken by someone who was spying for the U.S. on Japanese military activity in the Pacific.
Wow. She didn't try to get back home?
Apparently not.
Stuck on an island, they think I'm dead.
It was all a ruse.
All part of her plan.
Yeah.
Maybe she had some loan sharks after her.
Yeah, I don't know.
Gambling debts.
It's probably some huge conspiracy that had something to do with JFK and, you know, all this other stuff, you know, however many years before. Yeah, like, I love when people are able to tie all that stuff together. Like,
When did the Illuminati. When did she go missing? 1937, okay.
38, I think.
So it's 37.
37, okay.
Whatever. But yeah.
I couldn't remember. So, yeah, pretty cool. Maybe she lived.
Maybe so.
And now what happened to the Bermuda Triangle? Does it eat people?
Well, yeah. I don't know.
I want to go to the Bermuda Triangle.
Me too. See what happens.
Let's just go. And do a live podcast from the Bermuda. Well, we're all fine. Oh, my God, what is that? It's just in transmission. Yeah. Yeah. There's some kind of, like, pulse that's in, you know, Morse code or something. Well, there's your history lesson for today.
Cool. What kind of show we got today?
Don't put bombs in streets. Yeah, don't do that. That's, you know, I think that goes right up there. Well, we got an entertainment show, so we do what we normally do.
Yes, we do.
On the Friday edition, we talk movies, we talk scene, and we talk...
Food. That Jenna won't bring.
That Jenna does not bring.
Now, she brought lemon squares up to work, apparently, on
what?
Tuesday.
What?
They're still over there. Oh, maybe they're not.
The 4th?
Yeah, the 4th. I just happened to come up here for something, and I saw them. Someone's like, oh, Jenna brought them.
She brought them here when nobody was here?
Really? I know, right?
Oh, Jenna.
She knew we weren't going to be here, but I had one.
She did it despite you.
Every day she kills me a little more inside.
Call her out on that later.
No, she doesn't like it when we call her out.
Okay.
We should just love her for the lovable goof that she is.
Lovable goof.
She's not a goof. She's a scamp. Lovable scamp.
Lovable scamp.
Scamp.
Little scamp.
Not bringing
little
us rascal. Food. You rascal not bringing us food.
Apparently, I just learned this the other day.
Yeah.
Rascal back in the day, a couple hundred years ago, was like a huge insult.
Oh, so the little rascals, how did they get away with that?
Well, I'm really into the Hamilton soundtrack now. And I was reading up on the
Rascal Flats.
I was reading up on the Philip Hamilton duel, you know, Alexander's son, and apparently... I want to say George Eaker called him a rascal or something. Mm. And that was like a huge insult. It's like,
It is a noun, according to Merriam-Webster, a mischievous or cheeky person, especially a child or man, typically used in an affectionate way.
Well, not anymore. Well, back then it wasn't. Maybe now. Cheeky monkey.
Cheeky monkey.
We used to have a dog named Rascal. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Well, that's mean.
Relevance.
I'd like to know the etymology of the word, of rascal. It is Old French.
Hmm. Okay.
In the senses of a mob or a member of the rabble.
Hmm. Rabble rousers.
It is of uncertain origin.
Riff raff.
And I think you've made all this up, Brad.
I think we're teaching people something today.
Derived from the 12th century Old French.
This is an informative podcast.
I don't see anything that was like it was taboo.
I'm just saying it.
I don't see anything like that.
Apparently back then.
I think you lie.
I think I read it on Wikipedia. It must be true.
I'm on Wikipedia and I don't see anything like that.
Well, look up the Philip Hamilton duel. And
I don't see anything. A dishonest person, a rogue, a scoundrel, a trickster.
See?
Yeah, that's not.
Back then, you know, honor was a big thing among.
Someone who is naughty.
Yeah.
Yeah. A devil, imp, mischief maker, wow. Scamp.
See?
So maybe,
ooh, scamp.
Maybe it was referencing his affair, and that was
I think it was
the son, wasn't it?
Yeah, but there was.
Your dad.
George Eaker had disparaged Alexander not long after the affair happened, I believe.
That's right. That's part of why he called him out.
Yeah. So.
Well, you see, we're not just pretty faces. We also teach you something. And we're also not pretty faces. Okay, let's get started.
Okay.
Jenna Parsons joining us on this Friday without food. How are you, Jenna?
I'm good. How are you, Derek?
It's okay. We're not calling you out at this point. We're just stating the obvious.
I just think that maybe, you know how people, like you'll see in the obituaries, and it'll be Jimmy, Little Bob, Brown.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think I need to be Jenna No Food Parsons.
Or Derek, she didn't bring us anything, Russell. Your column this week was on pan-seared strip steak.
Yes, and in fact, we are going to have that for supper tonight, I believe.
What time should we be over?
Well, I only buy one steak, and it does serve two with leftovers, so sure. Whichever one of y'all gets there first will get the...
What
well,
if we just bring our own steak, BYOS, and just
you
bring
could
our
bring
own
your
steak.
Own steak.
I'm eating at my parents' house tonight. So.
Okay, well
you weren't invited anyway, I was. Where you thought you were getting in on this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting in on how do you prepare your pan-seared strip steak?
Actually, my husband prepares the pan-seared strip steak. And
say that three times fast.
He takes it out of the refrigerator and lets it get room temp, I think, for about a half an hour. And then he seasons it with some salt and pepper and cooks it in the cast iron skillet and finishes it with a little bit of butter and some thyme and some garlic. And you just cook it 3 minutes aside, and then you let it rest and slice it up, and it is just perfect.
That sounds excellent.
And we have found, as we have gotten older, that, you know, back in the day when we would say, let's have a steak, we would each have a ribeye, we would each have a strip steak, we would each have a T-bone. And now we have found that one 12-ounce steak is plenty of meat for two people in their 50s.
I've gotten that way now. I don't know if I could even eat a 12-ounce steak without just being in a food coma the rest of the night.
So I well, we don't tell you about the 32-ounce I had by myself a few weeks back.
Well, like
back
in,
I'll just keep that to myself.
Back in college, I ate a 24-ounce hamburger with fixins and everything, and that about killed me, but I couldn't even come close to doing that today.
Yes, but we don't have the metabolism we had in in our teens and our early 20s. So.
Brad's old. I had the steak for two. And I ate it by myself.
Did you really, Derek?
Moving on. Your cook of the week this week. You had two cooks.
I had
two
best
cooks
friends.
Of the weeks. Had best friends.
I'm gonna go hang out when they cook lunch.
Holy cow.
Every Sunday.
Yes. Sheila Staples was actually the cook that was nominated. Mm-hmm. She works at Life Corps. And she was nominated by, I believe, a former coworker.
Is that cornbread?
It is.
In a cast iron skillet?
It is.
Well,
and so
I'm done for the day.
We set the interview up, and then Sheila called back, and she said, look, she said, I really can't do this interview unless we do it with my best friend, Marjorie. She said, we do everything together. We cook together. And when people, they don't say, Sheila, what are you cooking? They say, what are you and Marge cooking? So we had Marge come and interviewed both of them and talked about they met when they were both managers at McDonald's.
Hmm.
And Marge works at Toyota. She works on the assembly line. And every Sunday they cook together. And friends and family come. And then just random people just show up at the door.
So well, if we show up, it's fine.
Absolutely. All you got to do is show up. They even have to-go plates in case you can't stay and visit.
Wow.
But their dream is...
I noticed you didn't put the address in here.
We'll look them up. We're reporters.
They would like to open a restaurant, and mm-hmm. they already have the name for it. It's Irene's and Annie's Place. Irene was, I believe, Sheila's grandmother, and Annie was Marjorie's grandmother. Gotcha. I think I have that right.
That's a Marjorie Patton is her last name, in case right. you're wondering.
Yes, I'm sorry. I didn't say that. But, Derek, you mentioned the cornbread. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you looked at the recipe.
You make
the cornbread, uh-huh. and then at the end it says brush the top with butter and honey. So
we going now? Field trip.
Give him a call,
Jim. What do you do with your cornbread? I had this conversation with my mother the other night. My grandfather, my fondest memory of my grandfather was his late night snack was buttermilk
and cornbread. And you dunk it. That was my mother's favorite meal.
That was what he would do.
We make cornbread when we have vegetable soup, mm-hmm. and we make it if we're having greens, and then, of course, we make it for dressing. But Mother told me early on that you have to have a cast iron skillet that's designated only for cornbread. Nothing else gets cooked in it. And so we have one of those skillets that is so shiny now, you can literally see your reflection in it. But it took us a while to get there, and when we first started trying to season it and make cornbread, every time we poured the batter in, you know, you have to get the oil hot first, and then you pour in the batter, and if it doesn't go, you may as well throw it out because it's not going to have a crust on it. But every time we would cook the cornbread and we would turn it out, there would be a little piece that would stick to the mm-hmm. bottom of the skillet that looked like New Jersey.
Yeah.
Every time, New Jersey.
It's always a state.
Well, finally, New Jersey, I guess we got it seasoned.
That thing that was on Gorbachev's head always, what mine ended up with.
We've got it seasoned now. Now the cornbread just pops out. But even the kids know that's the cornbread skillet. Don't use it for anything else.
Don't touch it.
See, I don't really get cornbread in my house because I'm married. She's not really a Yankee, but I call her a Yankee. So
why do you
Midwest.
Have such unhappiness
is
in
she,
your life?
Is she north of the Mason-Dixon line?
Yeah, she's from St. Louis. Well, originally from Oklahoma, but grew up in St. Louis. She likes sweet cornbread, and I can't stomach that.
You know what? A lot of people do, and the recipe that we make says that you can add a tablespoon of sugar to it. We don't. But the Cook of the Week's cornbread, Sheila's cornbread, I believe it's got... If I'm not mistaken, and I'm not looking at the recipe, I think it may have a third of a cup of sugar.
I mean, if it's a little sweet, I can handle it, but I just prefer, like, my mama and my mother make it just no sugar.
Yeah, some people who like it sweet, they call it Georgia cornbread, and it's almost like a cake. It's got so much sugar
in it. Exactly. It's basically a cupcake you're giving me.
Right.
Or whatever.
No, I don't like sugar in my cornbread.
No, it's just wrong. Sugar in the tea, not in the cornbread. See, up north, they do it like backwards.
I don't drink sweet tea.
Drink it much, although I love it, but because I don't drink it much because I love it too much.
My sister used to put a little bit of tea in her sugar when that was how she drank her sweet tea.
My wife, we have to go to McAllister's and get a jug every week for my wife.
Do you really?
She drinks it daily.
My son Patrick likes Milo's that they sell at grocery stores, okay. sweet tea.
Yeah. Sorry, we hijacked the conversation.
No, that's fine. They started making Milo's with sweet tea and lemonade Milo's.
Oh, an Arnold Palmer.
It is good. I bought a jug yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Did you know that was called an Arnold Palmer?
I didn't know it was an Arnold Palmer.
And do you know how it got that name?
Because he used to drink it that way.
He asked for that in a restaurant, and it stuck.
You seen the SportsCenter?
I don't buy the canned ones, though. Those are far too expensive.
No.
He has his own.
What's the
SportsCenter commercial, but I can't remember how it went, Chris.
They're in the cafeteria at ESPN, just everyone's going to get their food, and Arnold Palmer goes up, and there's just the dispensers of the iced tea and the lemonade, and he does it, mixes it half and half, and it's like, well, that's so cool, Arnold Palmer making an Arnold Palmer.
That's funny. All right. Got anything else for Jenna?
No, that's it.
We're good? Cool.
That's it.
Maybe I'll bring food next week.
Yeah, sure you will.
I will share this. My daughter enjoys Arnold Palmer's probably more than I do because I try not to drink much sweet or sugar anymore. But at some point, I think I was explaining to her what a shanty was, and she got them mixed up, so now she always asks for a shanty.
What is a shanty?
That's beer and lemonade.
Oh.
Yeah, gross.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And so now when she goes to where she's like, can I get a shandy? I'm like, child. Yes, but let me order it and pass it to you.
You've already had two today, Wes.
You've had enough, kid.
Cutting you off.
It's not as bad as the time we were at the mall alone together and she pitched a fit over something and I was getting all to her and she laid at the floor kicking, screaming, going, don't kill me. Everybody's standing around looking. I'm like, God, I'm gonna. If you don't get
at least she didn't say, are you gonna beat me again, Daddy?
Yeah. Did you have one that said that?
My cousin's daughter just got married. No, when she was younger, she did that once in Walmart. She's like, don't beat me again, Mama. She's like, I don't beat you.
She never laid a hand on you, child, but you're getting it now.
Oh, yeah, really. Out of the mouths of babes.
Yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm. Just in the floor of Barnes & Noble. Don't kill me.
Hilarious.
Please don't call DHS anybody. Jenna, thank you for coming on today.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's M. Scott Morris again. What's up, bud?
Man, I'm getting like used to this room. I'm relaxed now after
you've been on here like five consecutive shows or something at least.
Yeah, it's been horrible for me. But
it's been great for the listeners.
When you don't have the checks on, like the other day when I was here, y'all, all three of you had plaid on. Today it's like two checks and a stripe.
Yeah, we made sure not to coordinate this time.
Well, that would have been starting to look kind of suspicious.
Yeah. I want to talk with you about the movie you reviewed this week, Despicable Me 3.
That's correct.
I've seen the first two. They're pretty good.
You see the 2.5, the Minions movie as well?
I don't think I did. It's on Netflix, so I guess I can go watch it if I want to.
Yeah.
But you get this deep into a franchise, you can start having, I guess, diminishing returns. But this one actually not bad, is it?
You know, a lot of people didn't go see it. I mean, it made some money, but compared to like the last outing, not so well. And I can understand that because when they're making a third one, it's like, I wasn't all that excited about it. But then I saw a trailer with the Minions in prison, and they just took over the prison. All the inmates were scared of them. Like one of the prisoners wants to use the shower, and the Minions start smacking him with a towel, snapping him with a towel. And it was hilarious. And just for that part, I said it was worth it for me. But the rest of it, it's a pleasant movie. It's an amusing movie. It's not that many laugh-out-loud moments for me. But from start to finish, my family and I enjoyed it. Yeah. But again, I don't know if the movie's all that. I mean, it's a good movie. I liked it. I give it a B. But we've seen a lot of it before. So it's just kind of a continuation of the characters and all that. So I can see how there's not all that much excitement about it to go see it. Well, but if you had little kids and you had to go do something with them, you could do worse than going to see this movie.
Yeah, I'd like to see it just for the Balthazar Bratt character, voiced by Trey Parker of South Park.
That's right. Yeah.
And he's just like the stereotypical 80s rocker is what he looks like with the mustache. And
No. That's
what he looks like.
I know, but he's a 80s child star gone bad.
I got you.
So an 80s child star grows up to be a supervillain, and I think that's perfect. And he wears he has shoulder pads from the 80s, yes. And he does dress like, and does his 80s dance moves and things like that. But the idea that they would finally make a child star a true supervillain, it should have been done before. I don't know why it hadn't happened before.
That's pretty good, yeah.
And then his one of his big weapons is this ever expanding bubble gum that he'll shoot it out of his shoulder pads, And it just expands and takes over the world and creates havoc and chaos.
That's one thing I've always liked about the Despicable Me movies. They're not afraid to just be totally ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was in one of the trailers I saw, but somehow Gru, who was our hero's former villain, the me in the Despicable Me,
right?
He ends up like naked. I forget how he became naked. But you don't see any Gru parts because it's it's a kids movie.
And Gru parts.
But but he gets all wrapped up in that bubble gum, and so it's kind of like a leotard type thing. And he's like, because of the way it's happening, he's just kind of floating across this window as people see him there, and he's having to deal with it. It was a nice embarrassing moment for Gru, and So some humorous moments, and if you remember the series, little Agnes, a little girl, she loves unicorns, and this time out she goes...
So fluffy.
Exactly. Well, she finds a fellow traveler, and he encourages her to go out and hunt for a unicorn, and which she does, and and then so everybody's got their little moment.
Yeah, and you got Kristen Wiig in there. Oh, she's back. And the second one is Lucy, and you've got Steve Carell voicing a second character. Plot twist.
Oh, he's yeah.
Gru has a brother,
a long lost twin.
Yes.
How long will it take before they're completing each other's
sandwiches?
That's very good. That's very good.
I watch lots of kids' movies because I have 18 kids. So
he said it. Shut up. He's in on it now.
So he's got this brother, and basically his brother, you know, Gru's been reformed, but his brother wants him to like teach him the ways of villainy. Basically.
That's right. That's right. And so they're trying to steal a big diamond. And then they have all the cool stuff. Like at one point early in the movie, they have these torpedoes that you ride in that convert into water motorcycles. And then there's a cool car that they ride in. It has like all the weaponry that you would expect from a supervillain. And yeah. then it can like become like a boat and does all, and it can drill underneath. It's just fancy stuff left yeah. and right. Suits that allow you to climb up a building.
Yeah. yeah.
You know?
Always a very visually pleasing franchise.
This, yeah, this definitely. One. And brightly colored. And yeah. so it's, again, pleasant, just amusing.
Yes,
so.
Sure. Well, y'all can read Scott's full review in Thursday's scene section. You can also find it at djournal.com. So, Scott, again, he gave it a B. Kelly Carlson of Wizard 106 gave it a B+.
You know,
so y'all basically agreed on a movie.
Well, she forgot what grade she gave it because she had texted that to me. And so I was doing the review with her on the radio, and she said, I give this a B-. And I said, wait a minute now. I'm a newspaper man. Over in advertising, you can change. And, you know, but in the radio, you can probably change. We're a newspaper. And so you texted me B+, so it's B+, lady.
That's funny. All right, Scott, thank you again, sir, for coming on with us.
You betcha.
Hey, tomorrow morning, wake up and get ready for the Daily Journal's news break, a quick summary of news, sports, weather, and everything else Northeast Mississippi, hosted by Brad Locke.
Well, not tomorrow morning.
In under 5 minutes. Why not?
Tomorrow's Saturday.
Oh, that's right. On Monday, you get me. Sorry. I apologize, but, you know, shows are posted each weekday at 7 a.m. at djournal.com, Facebook, YouTube, and the Daily Journal's mobile apps for Apple and Android devices.
Go back and watch today's episode. I'll be up there if you really want to see me that bad.
If you want to watch things in the past.
Sure. Everything you watch is in the past unless it's live streamed.
Here's a picture of me when I was older. Where'd you get that camera?
Okay. Hey, be sure to also check out the sports podcast that we produce here at the Daily Journal. Prep Rally is a high school sports podcast with myself and Gene Phelps. New episodes every Wednesday. You can find it for free in iTunes. Your podcast apps are at preprally.djournal.com. Also, Double Coverage, an Ole Miss and Mississippi State sports podcast with Paris Alford and Logan Lowry. New episodes every Thursday afternoon, in which the guys provide game previews, insight, commentary, and analysis on the Bulldogs and Rebels. You can listen to that in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. I believe they'll be back next week with a new show. SEC Media Days, I think, actually starts next week. I may have misspoke on Wednesday. Yeah,
it's about time they come back.
I know, right?
Do some work.
Seriously. And also, check out the Daily Journal's Capital View webcast each Monday afternoon at djournal.com. Capital Bureau Chief Bobby Harrison provides commentary and analysis on all the issues being debated in Jackson. You can watch live Monday afternoons about 2 o'clock or catch the replay later in the day. The 2017 session is over, but you can still get perspective about the news coming out of the state capital from Bobby. On to the entertainment scene.
Shall we?
What's happening, Derek?
Well,
what's happening around here? You got this big story on this band that's coming. It seemed like a colorful duo.
Colorful?
Not easy for you to say.
Colorful. Oh, I can say it correctly.
Colorful.
I was messing up. Zigtabra?
Zigtabra, is that how you say it?
Yeah. It's a zebra and a tiger put together.
Is that a thing?
And a Shalmatian.
Yeah.
Bruh. The Louisiana joke.
Yeah. Zigtabra, they're performing at Blue Canoe next week. They are, this is interesting. Yeah, I'll say it. This is interesting. They are actually half siblings that did not meet until later in life.
Huh.
And once they did meet, they still didn't know they were half siblings until sometime later.
Wow.
Didn't have a whole Princess Leia.
No. Luke thing.
Luke thing going.
No,
okay.
No. So, Well, they were whole. They were whole brother and sister.
That's true. You know, still, were, that's crazy.
Vader. Vader was their father. And
I'd read a story just about that.
Father. Well, you would. We didn't. We didn't. We didn't weave that into this. But yeah, they prevailed. They have a bubbly sound.
Yeah, bedroom pop. That's a new bedroom one. I haven't heard of that pop. Subgenre yeah. before. Well,
it's bubbly melodies.
Bubbly.
Bubbly. Bubbly. Bubbly. Bubbly. Bubbly. Bubbly.
Where are they from?
They are from Chicago.
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 And they, how did they meet? I read the story.
They were in a dance troupe.
That's what it was, a dance
together.
Troupe.
Yeah, like a dance, like a glittery dance troupe together.
Crazy.
Yeah. So now they tour around and perform. They're doing something cool. They are releasing one new song and music video for that song every month in the year of 2017.
That's neat. It's going to be kind of a tall order.
Yeah, 12 songs, and they're doing most of them on the road because they're touring through the end of September.
And so by, at the end of the year, they'll release the whole album?
Yeah. Well, they released them all online, and then they'll, right. they'll compile them.
Right.
Yeah.
So this will be their first album, second?
No, this should be their third. I believe. Okay. They've been doing this since 2010.
Oh, okay. So gotcha.
There's also Spider-Man Homecoming you can go see this weekend.
You could.
Reconnect for Autism is doing a sensory-friendly screening of Spider-Man Homecoming in Corinth. The Malco, the Red Dirt Revelators performing at the Thirsty Devil tonight, as a matter of fact, and then West of Shake Rag Improv Comedy Group.
It's a special West of Shake Rag.
Stranger, this week. Are You Smiling?
Yes, with Glenn Payne and Casey Dillard.
Exclusive.
So, exclusive.
Yeah. Or you go see Despicable Me 3.
Yes. Scott Morris said it's not bad.
Yeah. That was his review. It's not bad.
It's not terrible.
That's all he said. It wasn't all. It's aight.
It's like I say after every knees break episode. Not terrible.
Yeah, could have done better, but we didn't.
Not after everyone.
Well, okay. There were some that have been pretty rough. But the edit,
the ones you weren't on were halfway decent.
Thanks.
So, good talk. Yeah. Good times. Man. Good times.
Good podcast. Good episode. Good times. That's it.
Yeah.
We're done. Get it off into the weekend to do whatever.
Already?
Lots to do. We just told you about it, so you got no excuse to sit around and do nothing. That's probably what I'll do.
Is it time to go already? I don't want to go.
Yeah, it's too bad.
All right. See you.
Yeah, just a reminder, you can catch this podcast many different ways. We're in iTunes, Google Play, and if your podcast apps, hit the subscribe button. You'll get notified when we drop a new episode. You can also find out about new episodes by following us on Twitter at DJournalMemo. Oh, and we have an email. I don't know how many emails we get to it, but, you know, if you have questions or thoughts, comments, whatever, send us an email, memo@journalinc.com.
Yep, that's it.
And all the stories we talked about today you can find in your daily journal or at djournal.com. Follow the journal on Twitter at djournal now for the latest breaking updates and other things.
Yep.
Okay. That's it.
Oh, okay.
Hope everybody has a great, fun, exciting weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You
do
too.
That.
You too, Derek.
Yo, you too.
And you too, Chris.
Oh, you as well.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Derek's already checked out.
Everybody. What am I still doing?
Okay.
It's Friday. I shouldn't even be at
Go
work
back
today.
Go back to your desk, Derek. We'll see you later.
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
All right. Bye.